Hey there, and welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Timberlake Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our mission is to reach, feed, and release people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You can learn more at our website, timberlakeumc.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
This is the message portion of the service when we read the scriptures and interpret them for each other and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. So friends, if you have your Bible, let me invite you to open it right now. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are going to read verses 14 through 17. I'm reading from my HarperCollins Study Bible, and this is the New Revised Standard Version. So again, 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Paul writes this: "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, if you're going to memorize just one Bible verse this month, make it this one. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In Christ, there is a new creation. When I was in high school, I went on a retreat called Chrysalis. Some of you may be familiar with that ministry or with the partner ministry called the Walk to Emmaus. Chrysalis is for youth what the Walk to Emmaus is for adults. It's an intense spiritual retreat weekend. It's designed for people to experience the love of God in a powerful way. And maybe you know that a chrysalis that the retreat is named for is a stage that a caterpillar goes through on its way to becoming a butterfly. You knew that probably, didn't you? The whole chrysalis weekend that I was a part of was based on this idea of transformation, this metamorphosis that happens when we are saved through Jesus Christ. And the change that God works in the heart of his children is just as dramatic as a caterpillar becoming a butterfly when we repent of our sin and receive new life in Jesus Christ. If you ever have the chance to go on a chrysalis retreat or an Emmaus retreat, I highly, highly recommend it to you. So here we are, friends, the seventh Sunday of Easter. We're coming up to the end of the season of Easter. Next Sunday is Pentecost, and today we're wrapping up our sermon series we've been calling The New Normal. Since the middle of last month, we've been exploring this idea that while quarantine and coronavirus seem to be our new normal, there is another, even more powerful new reality that God is introducing to the world through the resurrection of Jesus. And our most important, most determinative new reality is the new life that we have in his name. The inspiration for this series comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I want to share it with you today. Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." In other words, if you're a follower of Jesus, quit dwelling on earthly things. If you've repented of your sin, you have died with Christ in a death like his, and you have been raised with Christ in a resurrection like his. So quit acting like your old self. Start acting like your new self. You have been raised with Christ. Set your mind on things above. Another way to think about it, quit acting like a caterpillar and start acting like a butterfly. You ever thought about that? This is how a caterpillar lives. Do-do-do-do-do, another day crawling in the dirt. Do-do-do-do-do, oh, let's see. Let's take a look outside of my caterpillar house and see what's going on out there. Oh, there's a blade of grass. Oop, yep, there's another blade of grass. Oh, there's another blade of grass. Oh, there's my buddy Jeff, the ant. Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good to see you. Oh, another blade of grass. Some dirt. More grass. There's some more dirt. More grass. More grass. More grass. And if someone were to ask you, the caterpillar, what's wrong with you, right? You might not even understand the question, because dirt and grass is all you know. That's all you've ever experienced as a caterpillar. That's all you can see. Of course, that's all you can see when you only live 1 inch above the ground, right? Every day the same thing. You crawl through the dirt, around one blade of grass, and over the next. But then one day you take a nap, a really, really long nap for like weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But before you fall asleep, you take some silk. Hey, where'd that silk come from? That's weird. And you wrap yourself up in this tiny little tube. And the tube actually kind of looks like a casket a little bit. That's strange. So you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, suddenly everything is different. Everything is different. You look at yourself and you're like, no way. No way. Is this really me? I think it is, but I've got wings. I've got wings now. I can fly. And you know what? When I fly up into the sky, I can see. I can see everything, and everything looks different now. My field of vision has positively exploded. Before, you know, all I could see was grass and dirt, and my world was so small. But now I can see that every blade of grass is just one of many blades of grass right here in this yard. And this yard is just one of many right here in this neighborhood. And this neighborhood is just one of many neighborhoods all around the world. And I can see flowers. And I can see trees, and I can see mountains, and I can see clouds, and I can see lakes and rivers and puddles. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And it's as if God made caterpillars turn into butterflies to teach human beings like you and me about what it means to have new life in Christ. Of course, the most startling difference between caterpillars and butterflies is that caterpillars can only crawl, but butterflies can fly. But notice, friends, they're not completely different. Butterflies are still material beings, right? They're made of matter. Just like caterpillars, they have legs, and they have eyes, and they have a mouth, and they can feel pain. But they're not bound to the earth like caterpillars, right? They're not trapped in this prison of gravity the way caterpillars are. And the same thing happens in your life when you repent of your sin and accept the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You are set free from the old life, and you are forgiven of your sin, and you are given new life through Jesus. God gives you wings. God gives you spiritual wings so you can fly into this new reality. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Do you know, friends, the Bible says that the Spirit of God actually comes and lives inside of you, inside your body. And that suddenly then, because of the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ, you are able to do things that you never dreamed possible. You're able to do things you never thought you could do. The Bible says that if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, you will also receive new life, just as surely as Jesus was raised from the dead. Imagine the kind of creative power it takes for a caterpillar to become a butterfly, right? It's a mystery of natural biology. It's an incredible transformation to behold. Now imagine how much more creative power it takes for a dead person to come back to life. That's what only God can do. What only God can do. One of the podcasts I love to listen to is called Radiolab. Wonder if you've heard of it. A while back, they did an episode on Radiolab about caterpillars and butterflies. And they wanted to know what really happens in there, in that chrysalis. Is the butterfly that comes out really the same creature as the kind of the caterpillar that went in? Or is it something totally and completely different? So in this episode, they visited a scientist, and the scientist actually cut open one of those cocoons to see what was inside. And you know what they found? Not a caterpillar and not a butterfly. It was goo, this yellowish goo, as if the caterpillar had melted and become a soup of cells, which seems to suggest that what comes out of the cocoon must be completely different from what goes inside of it. But then they told the story of this experiment. Some scientists from Georgetown University took a fat green caterpillar and they exposed it to a particular odor, to a smell, something like a nail polish remover. Now, this is important. This is a smell that caterpillars and butterflies normally don't mind. They don't mind it at all, but they trained the caterpillar to hate it. And here's how they did it. They would spray the smell toward the caterpillar, and then they would do something not very nice. They would give it a little electric shock, like a zap. Over and over they did this. Put the smell out and then zap it, smell and then zap, until the caterpillar came to hate the smell because it associated the smell with the zap. So eventually when that fat green caterpillar smelled that smell, he would begin crawling the other way because he didn't want to get zapped. So when the time came, this same fat green caterpillar made its cocoon, and a few weeks went by, and then after it reemerged as a butterfly, the scientist sprayed it with that same smell. And do you know what happened? Drum roll. Brrr, the butterfly hated the smell. Now again, normally butterflies don't mind this smell at all, but this one did. Why? Because it remembered its previous unpleasant experience of the smell that was associated with the zap. Which means, you get what this means? On some level, it was the same creature after the chrysalis as it was before. The thing that God had made was in there in its same lovely God-given essence. Its memory was intact. Okay. So what's the good news? What does that mean for us, for human beings? Here's what I think it means. God isn't interested in starting completely over. God is not starting completely over. God wants to take what God has already made and remake it and renew it and transform it. That's because when God made you, the story of Genesis and of the creation of human beings, when God made human beings, he called us very good. We are God's very good creation. And then that's the beginning of the Bible, the end of the Bible, Revelation. God talks about this same thing. And God says in Revelation 21, verse 5, "See, I am making all things new." See, I'm making all things new. Now, notice what God doesn't say. I'm making all new things. Nope. God isn't making all new things. God is making all things new. So God isn't starting over from scratch. God is starting with what God has already made. You, your life, your soul, your relationships, and he's remaking them. He's renewing you. He's revitalizing you, transforming you. Everything is being made new again. Now, friends, think about it. Isn't that how God works? You see, God does not destroy Israel to give birth to the church. No, God simply adds us Gentiles onto the family tree. God doesn't destroy his Messiah in order to offer salvation. No, God the Father sends Jesus the Son to die, but then raises him from the dead. Now, the same is true in your life Your former life is not destroyed. Your past is not erased, but it is redeemed. It is transformed. In Christ, you are being made new. And if you've ever witnessed the mystery of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, how can you not believe that God can do the same thing for you? If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Okay, back to the 2 Corinthians for a minute. Some versions of the Bible translate it like this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And this is the way the evangelical church in the Western world has interpreted this verse for a long time. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. He is made new. She is made new. And that's true, friends. That is absolutely true. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. But here's what I want you to see. That's only part of the story. Okay, when you look at the original Greek, what Paul wrote in this verse is actually this. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. That's literally what the Bible says in the Greek. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. And so we might fill in the words, he is or she is, and that would be true. But that's only part of the story. Okay, so let's look at how the New Revised Standard Version puts it. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. There is a new creation. You're part of it, and I'm part of it, but it is so much bigger than you and me. Now, this is one place where the evangelical church has gone astray, because for a few decades now, we have been so concerned with saving the souls of individual people that we have neglected to notice the way God is saving his entire creation. You see, we mistakenly thought that our goal as the church was to get people out of earth and get them away somewhere called heaven. And we forgot this whole time Jesus has been bringing heaven to earth. And that to be part of the church of Jesus Christ is to be part of something so much bigger than any one of us. You see, the center of the story is not your salvation. And the center of the story is not my salvation. The center of the story is Jesus and the new creation that he is making. Jesus is the cause, and the new creation is the effect. Right? Jesus is the grace giver, and the creation is the grace receiver. And I think our first reaction to hearing that might be, well, hey, what about me? I was told this is all about me. But then the more you think about that and live with it and pray with it, then the second reaction, I think, is actually a sense of relief. Oh, okay. A sense of peace, a sense of contentment. Oh, you mean this whole salvation thing isn't dependent on me? You mean this is something God is doing? Oh, hallelujah. What a relief. What a load off. I don't have to work for this. I can simply receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the whole world is being made new. Right now, God is making all things new. Think about Romans 8, when Paul talks about how all of creation has been subjected to decay because of the terrible, corrosive power of sin, and how all of creation is groaning like a woman in childbirth, longing for its day of redemption. The whole creation waits with eager anticipation for the new thing that God is doing. So I want to invite you today to think less like a caterpillar and think more like a butterfly. To see the world less like a caterpillar sees it and more like a butterfly sees it. To see not just yourself and that which is immediately in front of you, but to look and to notice that the whole world is the place of God's redeeming. To realize salvation is not just for individuals, it's for the whole church. It's for the whole creation. Friends, don't limit God's creative power just to your own heart. Yes, God is transforming your heart, But it doesn't stop there. God is making all things new. Our families and our homes, our city streets, the peaks of Otter, the James River, every moment that you invest in your work and in your play and in the people you love and in the time that we spend together as neighbors, as a church eating at food truck night and meeting in our life groups and getting together on Zoom virtually by the internet, all of these things that make our lives enjoyable and worth living, all of this is part of God's beautiful design that God is busy redeeming right now. Every part of creation waits with eager anticipation and eager longing for this transformation that God is bringing in Christ. God is making all things new. All things new. And I've noticed something, friends. When we put ourselves in the proper place in the story, something amazing happens. We are set free to give our lives away in service to what God is doing. We get to stop worrying so much about ourselves. We get to let go of this anxiety about our own status with God, and we get to give attention to what God has done and what God is doing, and it frees us to live for someone else. It frees us to give our lives away. Friends, I'm inviting you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, give your life away. After all, this is how we access our own new lives in the first place. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians one more time. This all-important verse about the new creation and being in Christ. And here's the setup for it, right? This is the precursor to all that new creation talk. Look at verses 14 and 15. Paul says, "For the love of Christ urges us on, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them." You are no longer a caterpillar. You are a butterfly. You have been given the ability to see the world the way God sees the world. You have been given the ability to fly to all the places Jesus is calling you to go. Friends, today is the new beginning. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen.